just looked around and he was gone.
They called it Camelot.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
In November of 1963, when the president and his wife went to Texas, their hosts were Governor John Connally and his wife Nellie. She says it was an exciting time.
Because now we had a young president and his young wife and these two adorable little children. It was going to be an entirely different way of living in the White House. We were looking forward to all the wonderful things that Kennedy would do. And it sort of, it just didn't happen.
She is the only surviving person who was in the death car in Dealey Plaza. A few years ago, she was going through a filing cabinet and made a discovery.
It was just a bunch of yellow pages with notes on it. I wondered what they were because it was not a beautifully done anything, you know, and I read it. I realized, of course, immediately what it was.
They were handwritten notes that Mrs. Connally made back in 1963 after she had brought her husband home to the governor's mansion from Parkland Hospital.
I went just off into a quiet corner. And I wrote about what happened in that car, and I wrote it not for you, not for the world. I wrote it for my children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, little folks that were going to come along years from now in case they had any interest in what happened on this unbelievably horrible day. My husband never saw them. I never read them to the children. I wrote the notes, and then I just opened an old file drawer in a file cabinet, put the notes in, and shut the drawer. To be very truthful, I didn't think about them. I didn't look for them for anything for over 30-some-odd years. I read them, and I thought, well, that's pretty good stuff. But if they had asked me to do that, 35 years ago, I would have told him I couldn't.
Since then, a few times per year, she has read them at small gatherings in Texas.
I don't look up. I just read the notes, and I don't look up until I finish. But the people in the audience are very quiet most of the time. You will hear people sobbing in the audience, or they're very quiet. They don't know whether to applaud, to stand up, to cry, or leave the room.
These are her notes. We got in the jump seats right behind the driver and Secret Service man in the front. I was on the driver's side. Mrs. Kennedy was behind me. The president sat directly behind John. We were a happy foursome. I had my yellow roses. Jackie had her red ones. As the motorcade neared the plaza, she turned to the president and said, "Mr. President, you certainly cannot say that Dallas does not love you." He smiled, and then there was a loud, terrifying noise. She wrote. It came from the back. I turned and looked toward the president, just in time to see his hands fly up to his neck. He sank down in his seat. There was no utterance of any kind. There was no grimace. I had no sure knowledge as to what the noise was. I felt it was a gunshot, and I had the horrifying feeling that the president could be dead. Quickly, there was a second shot. Nellie says her husband realized what was happening and said, "No, no, no." The governor was hit by the second shot and yelled, "My God, they're going to kill all of us." Nellie was trying to pull her husband down to the floor of the car when there was a third shot. She writes, "With John in my arms and still trying to stay down, I did not see the third shot hit, but I felt something falling all over me. My sensation was of spent buckshot. My eyes saw bloody matter in tiny bits all over the car."
Other information just in, President Kennedy apparently was shot in the head.
She noted her husband wasn't moving. I thought my husband was dead. Behind her, the First Lady was screaming, "Jack, Jack, they've killed my husband. I have his brains in my hands." John moved slightly. I knew he was alive. I whispered in his ear, "It's all right, be still," over and over again. I never looked back after John was shot.
An important bulletin. President Kennedy was given blood transfusions just a few moments ago at Parkland Hospital in an effort to save his life.
She writes that at Parkland Hospital, the President and the First Lady were getting all of the attention. No one was taking John out of the car. I knew in my heart the President was dead. I wondered how long I must wait before I could insist that someone tend to my dying husband. Finally, they took him into a room and closed the door. They left me standing as alone as I've ever been outside a closed door.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
A friend came out of the emergency room and said he'd seen the governor. He was pale, but moving. The friend recounted his words. John just said, "Please take care of Nellie." Could anything nicer happen to a wife than to have her husband in that pathetic, shot-up, half-conscious state think of her concerns and welfare? I thought, he is a remarkable and so very wonderful man. His one statement would sustain me now and could, if need be, comfort me forever. Her husband survived. He passed away 10 years ago.
It was sort of pushed away, I guess, like everybody, into the back of your head. And it was not until the Twin Towers, the planes crashing into the Twin Towers in New York, that suddenly this became very special again. Everybody that was old enough to think or know what was happening knows exactly where they were and what they were doing. And if they were too young, then they want to hear about it, and they are spellbound at what they hear. It was such a heinous thing that you just don't forget those things. I push it back in the back of my head, not to be remembered constantly, but it's something I'll never forget.
Both she and her husband disagreed with the findings of the Warren Commission. She doubts she'll ever know what really happened in Dallas that Friday morning.
Well, we'll never know, I don't guess. All I can know is what I was a part of, what I was privy to. We were having a wonderful time, and then we were having a horrible time. And I remember both those times very, very well.
Seen my old friend John. He freed a lot of people, but it seems the good die young. Yeah, I just looked around and he was gone. Oh yeah. He freed a lot of people, but it seems the good die young. Yeah, I just looked around and he was gone. We'll be right back.
they were gone.